there, my running friend. This is Coach Claire Barthelic, the Planted Runner, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, one of the first and only running podcasts dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of running coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as running coaching plans to fit every runner and every budget. Imagine that you are at mile 20 of the marathon. You've been running well, you've been hydrating and fueling according to the plan that you've practiced in training. You know that you just need to get through the next 6.2 miles and you'll cross the finish line faster than you ever have before. And then it hits you. A massive stab in your calf that gets worse and worse as you run. Maybe you're tough enough to suffer through it, but your pace certainly will slow. But for many runners, the cramps are intense enough to stop you in your tracks. What causes leg cramping? And more importantly, how can you prevent this from ever happening again? I'm going to go into the science of leg cramping today. I'll equip you with an action plan that you can start today to cramp-proof your legs so you can crush your next race, cramp-free. And I'm going to do it with a little help from my running mentor, Coach Jeff Gaudette, a 2:22 marathoner and founder of runnersconnect.net. Coach Jeff has extensively studied the issue of late race cramping in runners, and it might not be caused by what you think it is. One popular theory of leg cramping is that it's caused by a fluid or electrolyte imbalance. When your body's electrical system is out of whack, the muscles can misfire, causing painful cramping. For some lucky runners, changing their hydration plan has made a significant difference in the occurrence of late race cramping. But for many, many others, the cramps return again, despite what they eat or drink. Coach Jeff explains what's really going on.
Electrolytes are usually not the issue, because if you think about a lot of the runners that have had cramping issues in the past, like how they approach it is usually, you know, over-consuming either hydration or electrolytes, like salt tabs, all that kind of stuff, and they still have cramp problems. So, you know, to me, this was probably a few years ago, I was kind of looking at this really, really in depth, and to me, that signaled that these weren't really the cause of cramps. And what my research led me down was the fact that it's actually a muscle firing or muscle fatigue issue. And so kind of what happens is as muscles get tired, your body doesn't just shut them down. So like, for example, when your calf starts to get tired, it doesn't just, you know, completely shut it down. What it'll do is it'll shift the workload to another area or another group of muscles. And so, for example, when runners get cramps in their calf, it's not an electrolyte issue. Usually what I've seen is that it's an issue with their hips or their glutes. And so, or their hamstrings and their glutes, sorry. And so what's happening is the glutes and the hamstrings are by far the two most powerful muscles that we use when it comes to running and generating power. And so as you go further and further into the race and continuing to fatigue those muscles, when they get tired, and in order to generate the same amount of power, the body has to then transfer some of that to another area. And so what ends up happening is it transfers some of that to the calf. And so you start using your calf a little bit more to try to provide a little bit more of that explosive power to keep your same pace, to keep your momentum going. And the calf just isn't designed to take on that amount of workload. And that's when you end up getting those cramps. So it becomes like an overuse issue rather than electrolytes or anything like that.
So what is happening in your leg with these muscle overloading or fatigue cramps? The neural mechanisms that are supposed to inhibit muscle contraction become depressed, and the chemical and electrical synapses that fire the muscle fibers become enhanced. The result? An intense, sustained, involuntary muscle contraction that can derail all your hard work on race day. So why is this happening now at mile 20 of the race and not happening during all those long runs and hard tempos that you ran during training? Let's look at what happens to your form as you get tired in the marathon.
with a lot of runners, most of the time we end up seeing that they start to lean forward by hunching over, trying to compensate for the fact that usually their glutes and hamstrings aren't firing quite as effectively as they were before, or there's a weakness in the core. And so your core starts to get tired and you start to slouch over. Those directly lead to cramping issues because, again, now you're taking what, when you had good form, the proper mechanical use of the muscle. And then when you change your form, now you're not putting the muscle in the optimal position to perform. And so when that ends up either causing the muscle not to fire correctly, and thus you need to use other muscles or the body compensates in some way, or it over fatigues the area by putting it in a compromised position. So those are the two big ways that when your form starts to break down, it can directly lead to cramping because you're putting your body in a position that has not been trained to handle.
Let's break down the form breakdown in a little more detail. Jeff mentioned slouching or leaning at the waist as we get tired. When we are fresh, many runners are conscious of relaxing the shoulders down and back, keeping the spine straight, and running light and tall. But in order to do that, you need to have a strong set of core muscles holding the spine in that position for 3 or 4 or 5 hours or more. Eventually, perhaps without even noticing it, that supportive core starts to tire and relax. The spine starts to curve, causing the head to drop forward. This creates a bowling ball on a broomstick effect, overstressing the lower back. For many runners, this then causes them to counterbalance the weight by shifting the pelvis backwards. In this position, it becomes easier to overstride, which dramatically increases the impact forces that travel up the leg as the foot lands. Overstriding also puts the hamstrings in a vulnerable position at ground contact and forces them to do more work to pull the leg through, since the glutes can't be activated as efficiently. If you suffer from frequent hamstring cramps during the marathon, this might be your issue. So it's not just the calves that are prone to cramping late in the race. Those bigger muscles, like the hamstrings, can be susceptible too, in a slightly different way, and Jeff explains how.
Ideally, when you're generating power, you're generating your power through your stride by contracting the glutes and hamstrings and basically pulling your leg through as it's on the ground. So when you have ground contact, your hamstring and glute are pulling your leg through and then propelling you forward. The quad can cramp when the hamstring and the glute aren't firing quite as forcefully or effectively as you want. And that's what happens is you actually are like pushing with your quad. So it's kind of like you're using your quad to try to pull your leg back under you. And so that's creating a lot of increased force for the quad that it's not really meant to do. The other thing that can happen with the quad as well is, this is just a general fatigue issue, is that just the general pounding, that if you're not prepared for that, if your body's just not prepared, the quad is primarily activated when your foot hits the ground. So as your foot hits the ground, your quad contracts to try to brace and take some of that impact. And so if you're obviously later into the race, if you are just not prepared for it, then the quad can cramp because it's taking on far too much effort. So same thing with the hamstring. So the hamstring and glutes are very connected. You can use them simultaneously. But what can happen is if your glutes start to shut down, if you're not firing your glutes correctly, then your hamstring ends up taking 100%, 80% of that load, and that can cause a cramp as well. So it all comes down to the same issues. It's just a matter of kind of where in the body your form or your mechanics are starting to break down.
As summer gets into full swing, the idea of warm evenings and weekend barbecues has all of us excited. But if you're training for an important race, we all know how a day of drinking can make you feel for your next run, and sometimes for a few of your next runs. That's why we're excited to introduce you to Athletic Brewing, an amazing tasting, non-alcoholic beer made for athletes like you. Athletic Brewing's award-winning head brewer and founder John and co-founder Bill brewed hundreds of beers until they perfected a mosaic of brewing processes to make craft beer that just happens to be non-alcoholic. Athletic stands shoulder to shoulder with any top alcoholic craft beer in quality and taste, And at only 50 to 70 calories per can, their brews fit into any beer occasion. Now you don't have to compromise your social life or great beer to keep your edge. If you want to give them a try, head to athleticbrewing.com and use the code RTTT15 to save 15% plus get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. That's athleticbrewing.com with the coupon code RTTT15 to save 15% and get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. And while you're enjoying their beer, check out their podcast, Without Compromise, where they visit with athletes, founders, adventurers, and entrepreneurs who would not want to settle for less than their crazy ideas and how dedication to a healthy, active, and productive lifestyle has driven their personal success and positively impacted others. If you're training for a fall race, have you considered a custom training plan from Runners Connect? In 2019, our custom plans helped over 900 runners record new personal bests from the 5K to the marathon. Sadly, 2020 was a wash for everyone. Here are a few reasons our plans helped so many runners like you. Your schedule is written specifically for your age, experience level, goals, and injury history. Plus, you choose what days you can run, want cross training, and more. Your schedule will come with exact training paces for every workout with the scientific explanation for why we're doing that specific workout and how to execute it. You get ongoing schedule adjustments based on your progress throughout the plan or when you need to adjust for changes or missed training days like travel, work, family, or injuries. Strength workouts are built into your plan each day and completely customized to your ability level, current training, age, and goals. No gym needed, although there are options for those that have or want to use one. We also include nutrition guidance so you can find the right diet for you, get sample meal plans for losing weight and optimizing recovery, and fueling plans for your race. You can directly export your workouts to your favorite devices, such as Garmin, and run tracking phone apps so you have your exact workout paces and instructions while you're running. Our plans start at just $29 per month, and you can choose an ongoing plan if you have multiple races per year or just a one-time schedule. Right now, we're having a special 14-day free trial offer so you can see the difference a custom plan can make for you. To take advantage, just head to runnersconnect.net/train and get your 14-day free trial. Another culprit of cramping is lack of hip extension. Hip extension is extending the leg backwards after your foot contacts the ground. The bigger the push, the longer the stride, and the faster you run. The hip and glutes power this movement, and it is perhaps the single most important factor in your ability to run faster. As the miles pile up in a race, the hip and the glute muscles may struggle to maintain the forceful contractions required for good hip extension. This will become even more obvious if you went out too fast and fatigued your intermediate muscle fibers early on. To compensate for the hip and glute fatigue, the body recruits the calf and the quad to help generate the power needed to maintain marathon pace. Since the calf and the quad aren't accustomed to such a large workload, they quickly fatigue, and soon the cramps begin. But interestingly, not all runners suffer from cramps, even though we all get tired in a marathon. For example, I've never suffered from cramping, and my form has certainly broke down late in a race. So I asked Jeff about this.
Either unknowingly, you've worked those muscles in training, and thus they're prepared to handle that, or you're just naturally strong in those areas. And so when the body actually shifts, it's actually shifting to an area that isn't a weak area, and thus you're able to kind of keep going without cramping. And the other big one, I know you're big on strength training, so you do a lot of strength training. So I think that gets back to where I said, unknowingly, like you're doing your strength work. And so there's a lot of runners that don't do the strength work. So unknowingly, you are actually helping yourself prevent cramps because you're actually training those small little muscles without your goal isn't necessarily to prevent cramps, but that's what it's doing kind of on the back end.
So maybe I'm unknowingly preventing cramps with my strength sessions. But how do you prevent them on purpose? Let's go back to Jeff to explain exactly how to do this.
Yeah, so generally speaking, there's three ways you can attack it, right? So we can attack it through the general training, which is generally speaking, the more volume that you're doing, the more you're training, the less likely the chances are that you're going to have a cramp. That's just because the more you train, the more you're training your body to handle fatigue. But I don't always approach preventing cramps that way because a lot of people can increase their training volume more than what they've been doing, whether it's because they get injured or because they don't have the time, whatever it is. So that's not the primary approach that I like to use. The other two ways are improving your running form and improving your strength training. So we'll start with improving your running form. So you can always look at your form and see where your form is. A good way to do it is if you're able to look at photos of you running early on in a race and then photos of you running late in a race and seeing where the differences are in what your form looks like. So we're trying to pinpoint where your form is breaking down. And then you can do exercises, drills, stretches, et cetera, to help you improve those areas. And so that's one big thing. So in addition to the drills, stretches, and stuff like that, you can also just more of a mental consciousness when you're in your training to make sure late in long runs, late in workouts, that you're focusing on your form and making sure that it's where it should be. So you can do that in a couple ways, obviously just mental. Again, you can have maybe somebody take some video or photo of you late in a long run or late in a workout and just see what your form looks like, to see what your mental connection is to what I think I look like, what I think I'm doing, to what I'm actually doing. So that's going to help the form area, the form aspect of preventing cramps. And then the final one is strength training. So any amount of strength training that you do is going to help. Specifically, you want to focus on core work. And by core, we're obviously talking about abdominals, but also glutes and hips are what we call, when we talk about core, especially as runners, that's what we talk about. The glutes tend to be the biggest area. We want to make sure that we have strong glutes and that we know how to fire them. And by knowing how to fire them, I mean that your body instinctively knows how to use that muscle. So you could have really strong glutes, but if your body doesn't know how to use it in the context of running, then it's really not going to really help. You know, you can keep increasing your strength, but you need to be able to use that strength. And the same thing you can with hamstrings, calves. So any area that you tend to get cramps in, you want to focus on getting stronger.
Besides assigning drills to improve hip extension, Jeff has a specific strength protocol that he prescribes for his cramp-prone athletes.
If you're somebody that really struggles with cramps, ideally what you want to add to your training is some type of heavy weight training. And what I like to do is, this is what I've recommended for people that have cramps, is to actually do two strength training sessions in a day. And so after your workout or long run, what you're going to do is you're going to go to the gym and you're going to lift heavy. Heavy compound lifts. So squats, deadlifts, Russian RDL. So basically you're doing like a hamstring exercise, everything heavy. And so roughly anywhere from 4 to 5 sets, 3 to 6 reps, going roughly as heavy as you can, taking a full complete rest. And that means anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. You really want to focus on your form because you're going to be tired. That's the idea. So what we're doing with this is we're hitting the muscles when they're tired and we're doing compound big movements. So we're attacking those big muscles. Here's the background. So what happens in training is that we can never really simulate what's going to happen to our body in the last 5-6 miles of a marathon, because in training, we're never running 26 miles at marathon pace, right? So we need to figure out how do we train our body to handle those last 6 miles without actually running those 6 miles, if that makes sense. And so what we do is we do a hard workout or a long run. So now we fatigued our body, and then we go into the gym and we do heavy weight work, which is going to further stress our muscles, but we're not running. So we're not quite producing that level of fatigue that's going to potentially get us injured. So we finish that session in the morning or whenever you do your workout. And then later in the day, you do another strength training session where you come back and you do lighter body weight exercises, but holding exercises or high repetitions, 10, 15, 20 reps. And so what this is doing is now we're taking that idea further of, okay, we need to train the body when it's fatigued. So if we've done all this work in the morning, our body is really fatigued. By the time we get to the evening, obviously we recovered a little bit, but not enough where the strength work that you're doing isn't necessarily working on your form, your strength, your mechanics when you're actually already tired. And so obviously it's a difficult day, and you know, I don't recommend it to every runner, but I do recommend it to runners who are really struggling with cramps. And every time they go out to race, that's what blows up their race. Then that's what I recommend. And so, you know, I recommend starting with maybe once a week early on in the training cycle. You know, when you're 12, 14, 15 weeks out, starting about once a week. And then if that feels good, like if you feel like you're handling that okay, then you can move to 2 or 3 times a week. So basically it would be after every workout or long run, if you're doing up to 3 times a week. And then starting to pretty much taper that down 3 to 4 weeks before the race, then I would pretty much stop that type of training, just because we want to focus on recovery at this point. And there's not a lot you're going to be able to do to gain strength in those last 2 to 3 weeks.
One thing to clarify is that you don't want to simply focus on the area that cramps in your strength work. You can do all the calf raises in the world during training, but if you don't get your core, glutes, and hips solidly strong, your giant calves are still going to get cramps late in the race because they are not designed to drive your entire leg alone. If weakness in your calf was really the main issue of cramping, you would get cramps in training, which is not what typically happens. So if you've tried changing up your fluids and electrolyte plan, you are running better than ever, and still are suffering from cramps late in the race, consider bumping up your strength sessions and working on your hip extension. It could make the difference between a painful stumble to the finish line and a triumphant race, entirely cramp-free. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast with me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Our mission is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Connect with me on Instagram at The Planted Runner and at Runners Connect. Join the Runners Connect team at runnersconnect.net and support our show for free with a review on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show and want to get more free content in your inbox, become one of my favorite listeners and get the elite treatment at runnersconnect.net/podcast. Have a great run today.